Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, a kids show, if you're brave enough. We are your childhood podcast hosts, so we know what's good for them, Taylor and Chelsea, here today following up on our Dr. Stephen Greer episode with its part dos, or two for the English in the room. I should really learn two in German so we can do that and be more pure, but I just don't have the time these days.
Not even to learn the number two.
Nope.
Too busy.
Where we left off, we were just talking about Stephen Greer's writings, how he has had some symposiums that people point to for successes. And from here, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about his documentaries, which thankfully you were able to watch some of these with me. So I'm very happy that you'll be able to comment. And I was taking notes while we were watching it. And this was a while ago, so I get to reflect on these notes and really talk about this.
Oh, I will comment whether I've seen them or not.
He has done, according to his website, 5 documentaries. In total, it's about 10 plus hours of documentary. First one is Serious, It Is Time for You to Know, 2013. Unacknowledged, An Exposé of the Greatest Secrets in Human History. Those are the two we watched together. I think we started watching Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, Contact Has Begun, in 2020. That's when it came out, not when we watched it. The Cosmic Hoax, An Exposé, and where I had to tap out, The Lost Century and How to Reclaim It. I got about halfway through that. That's from 2020. It's too much Greer for me.
Okay, I was just going to say, why did you tap out? Okay.
And I will talk about it when we get to that point, but it's just, I could only take so much at that time.
Feel like I had my fill of Greer with the 2.5 that we watched.
From there, we're going to talk about CE5, a very important part of Stephen Greer, and then we're going to talk about his interactions with other people in the ufology community. Chelsea, we sat down and we watched Serious together.
Yeah, it was serious business.
This was over Thanksgiving in Canada. We had some alcohol and we just sat down and watched this. And I think the first thing I just need to make a comment on before I get into my actual notes, I feel like they got a discount on renting the camera equipment because they only got a tripod for half of the filming period. And then the rest, they just put the camera on the ground and angled it up at everybody. Because my God, did they just not.
About that.
Complimentary angles in this
episode.
It was
the worst camera angles possible. You know, I can't even remember exactly what Serious was about.
It's about too many things.
I know.
Too many things.
There's too many thoughts in there. It jumps around a lot, I find. And plus those camera angles, who can even concentrate?
It's going to come up in my notes, but I'm just going to start off. This was my stream of watching it and just reflecting on this documentary.
Okay.
It starts off by explaining capitalism and banks and oil.
Right.
Then David Wilcock showed up and it turned into an Ancient Aliens episode.
Yeah.
He then starts selling his CE5 outings, his Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind outings. And this has all been interspersed with one presentation he is giving. And then they show a satellite clearly videotaped at a CE5 event. And they keep talking about all this shit it was doing when they weren't filming it.
Right. And you know, seeing David Wilcock is enough to halt everything for a long time while we just make fun of David Wilcock.
Mm-hmm. We had to pause after that and just reflect on the fact. that they invited David Wilcock into this.
Why is he there? What is so...
And as we get going, it's going to be even more confusing why David Wilcock's there.
Yeah, I don't like to see him anywhere, really.
They then show the worst interview angle I think they could ever choose. Stephen Greer is sitting on a bar stool, and the angle really highlights that he is wearing sandals with a suit.
Yep. I would have to stop recording right there if anybody ever came at me with the camera at that angle. I'm out, guys.
They then turn to start talking about the Atacama body that Chelsea's going to be talking about in the next episode. It looks really fake in the documentary. It looks like they did like a plastic mold of like, I don't know, they put like a plastic mold over a Ken doll. Does that sound about right, Chelsea?
It does look fake, 100%. I will say that much. It very well might be a replica, but I don't know if it actually looks like that. I mean, it does.
But at the same time, it looks fake. Like, it doesn't look like a body. It looks like it's made of plastic. Yeah. Like, very clearly.
Yeah.
It would not be out of place in a Halloween decoration scene.
Oh, not at all.
If you're trying to make fun of a manger scene and you put, like, a demon skeleton in the manger, that's what you would put right there.
Yeah.
After they talk about the Atacama alien, they then move back to talking about different energy sources. Then they interview this engineer who's clearly wearing a hairpiece and or has dyed his hair a color that is completely wrong for his age category. It's like 30 years off. He talks about inertia. Then they put a meme on the screen, and then he's talking about suppressed technologies. And then we move to talking about 1954 as the year everything went black. And then, what's this? In 2008, Dr. Stephen Greer and the Orion Project attempted to buy. Right. This is where the black is talking about like technology improvements went black in 1954. And then they're talking about trying to buy somebody's technology journal that they wrote at a silent auction, and they got outbid.
Oh, right.
But they make it seem like really sketchy. This is what it says on the screen. In 2008, Dr. Stephen Greer and the Orion Project attempted to buy Stanley Myers Science Estate at a silent auction. However, they were outbid by an anonymous source. Which, is that not how silent auctions work?
Yeah, no, you just write the number on top of it, then it goes to you.
And then, this is the weirdest part, I think, of the entire documentary. He really likes to focus in that he's best friends with a Rockefeller, who I'm pretty sure is payrolling him the whole time and got him to move into ufology. And he makes it, like, abundantly clear that he really likes the Rockefellers.
Yeah, it comes up on other interviews that he does for sure. He does name drop Rockefeller a lot.
Which I find really funny is how I perceive it, but contradicting and damning when he's talking about shady people behind the scenes and uber rich people that are playing the strings, and he's best friends with a Rockefeller.
Well, not only that, but he's talking about how we're still using fossil fuels.
Yeah, and we'll get into that at some point. And also, in this documentary, he makes it very clear where his political grounds are, because he's really talking about how we need the free market to be able to bring these technologies forward and supplant oil and gas.
Yeah.
Which I just find, the way he phrased it was so Ayn Randian that, frankly, it was a little sickening in my mind. I spit up a little bit. Thankfully, we have Medicare here in Canada that I did not have to worry for my life, but that's how it went. It's also very apparent with what podcast he chooses to go on, his political views, but we'll keep moving from here. He then starts talking about this time he met the director of the CIA. His last name's Woolsey. He tells a story about how Woolsey was talking to him about aliens. Woolsey says, oh, there's all this stuff that they won't even let me learn about. What are you going to tell me? And he's like taking it as gospel, what he's learning from Stephen Greer. And then they put a little asterisk after that statement. And they said that's not what the director of the CIA says happened. And then he starts talking about the Phoenix Lights, and somehow he was there during it, despite the fact that he's from North Carolina, which I find very odd. It almost seems like he feels like he has to place himself in these important things.
Yeah.
That's the point where I wrote this down, Chelsea. We lost interest.
Yeah.
Because this is an hour 20, I think-ish.
There didn't really
Are all the things they went through in that time period.
I know. For how much production they put into this is coming out and how much hype he seemed to have been putting into it, it was very scattered. It didn't seem to have a central point that it kind of revolved around. It seemed to be a bunch of scattered, really random points that were shot horribly.
I agree fully.
It's hard to bring anybody into it to begin with. I mean, then he starts talking and it's like, and then you see David Wilcock and you're completely derailed by that, because who wants to see him?
And David Wilcock
anywhere?
Early.
Oh, it was an early David Wilcock. He looks completely different. No,
I meant like, sorry, early in the documentary. It was also early in David Wilcock's career.
Yeah, both of those.
Yeah. Sure.
But yeah.
Oh, and so my next point I made here, which was what I just said, he makes a vague reference to free markets. And then the fact that they put a Ron Paul clip in the movie showed his political leanings very clearly at that point.
Yeah.
It now turns to 9/11 and David Wilcock fucking shows up again for like 5 seconds. That's what I wrote. That's our synopsis of Sirius.
I think that's very accurate synopsis from us.
Do you have anything else you want to comment about Sirius?
Oh, I do. Just because I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast and he's pretty much, I think he was promoting Sirius maybe because he talks about a lot.
That was it. Yeah. Yeah. He actually invites Joe Rogan at the end of it to the premiere of Sirius. And that's around the time where he brings up the point that he's not making much money off of Sirius because the production company takes all of it. And lo and behold, the production company who created it is one Sirius Technology Advanced Research LLC or Star LLC.
I'm sorry.
Which is Stephen Greer's company.
Okay, I was just going to say, is that...
It's Stephen Greer's company.
You gotta be fucking kidding me. You know that... Oh, thank you, Stephen Greer, for that. That's a beautiful thing. I was just going to say, though, Stephen Greer was talking about how he was in Phoenix for the Phoenix Lights, and he was hard-pressed to tell Joe Rogan why the fuck he was in Phoenix. Oh, yeah. I can't even say why I was there. Oh, well, I was there working on this one thing. He's hard-pressed to stay on anything, anywhere that I...
You know what, Chelsea, we're actually going to Joe Rogan, right? So Okay. Why don't you wait until I play this clip and we can talk about Joe
Okay, Rogan. I'm all for clips. Let's hear it.
You know what, sorry, before we go to Joe Rogan, I do have one thing I wanted to say before that one. I found this letter that was specifically written by James Woolsey in response to Stephen Greer and the claims he was making. So it's written by James Woolsey, September 16th, 1999.
Did we talk about who James Woolsey was?
Woolsey's the CIA director that he says that he had that dinner with, and Stephen Greer was told by Woolsey. Do you remember that part where I said that he has that asterisk in there where Woolsey disputes what happened in this conversation?
Sorry, we talked about it twice now.
Yeah, this is Woolsey, the CIA director's. Asterisk. Dear Dr. Greer, it has just come to the attention of the four of us, that being John Peterson, Diane Peterson, James Woolsey, and Suzanne Woolsey, that you have, without giving any of us the opportunity to comment, published a distorted account of a dinner party of some 6 years ago at which the four of us, you and your wife, were seated together. In the introduction to your book, Extraterrestrial Contact, published earlier this year, you portray this dinner party conversation during which the four of us listened to your views and politely ask questions as a briefing with a cover story. You further assert that Mr. and Mrs. Woolsey reported a UFO sighting to you and agreed with your views. You include specific alleged quotations from them. None of this is accurate. I love this statement here. You have portrayed politeness as acquiescence and questions as affirmations. Your conduct in this matter contravenes both accuracy and simple manners. Sincerely, the above mentioned four.
I love that.
That is such a great letter.
That's a great letter.
And anyhow, this is one of the times Joe Rogan's really lost it over the last little while. But back in the day, he could make some really good points, or at least he would cut through the bullshit. This is right after Joe Rogan is shown the trailer for Sirius.
I think that's around where we stopped watching.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. I could not figure out a way to download a YouTube video longer than 2 hours, so I am going to recreate the Joe Rogan part of the episode that we want to incorporate here. So if you're ready, I'm going to just recreate it. You know that guy at the beginning of the video?
Good looking guy.
That says you're a genius? David Wilcock. You know who that guy is? Yes, I know that guy. Do you know that guy also thinks that he is Edgar Cayce? And shows you pictures. I had no idea.
Are they recording in the dark?
Do you know that he shows you pictures of all his friends and shows you how they look like Edgar Cayce's friends? I had no idea.
Shut up. He didn't know that.
Yeah. Might want to do a little editing.
That's Joe
Rogan's voice. I'm sorry for that.
I love that he's like, no, never. I have.
Might want to do a little editing with that one.
Oh, yeah. No, like. He made that such an important part of his ethos.
Not saying anything else in your documentary is bullshit, but.
I love this.
That guy makes my lie detector radar go off.
So So that's what I think of your documentary. Wow. Just first off, I saw David Wilcock.
And if you watch the documentary, yeah, that's one of the first things you see.
Yes, David Wilcock. I wonder, that there's no way he doesn't know that and he put him in there.
He doesn't care. I think that's the most important thing there. And there's two things out of that that you can take with that response to David Wilcock. Either he doesn't do background checks, and especially when he's talking about 700 people that he's interviewed that are whistleblowers, and it's news to him that David Wilcock has some weird stuff.
Good point.
Is very telling, or he doesn't care, which is also very telling.
I think whatever goes towards this point, just based on everything that I know about him, is what he's going to use.
Anyhow, I don't think he took anything from this, because we went into watching Unacknowledged right after this, and David Wilcock's in that. Oh, and look, Richard Doty shows up. I get it. You can have him in things, I guess.
No, you can't.
They put underneath him Richard Doty, special agent. And that is the entire description they give for Richard Doty throughout. And Richard Doty shows up in all the documentaries after this.
Might want to do a little editing. And there's another thing. I would love to hear if somebody called him on that one, too, to be like, Richard Doty's a disinformation agent, right? Joe Rogan actually asks him about disinformation in this interview. And he says, I've heard it all.
Oh, I can cut
really
through it.
Have to. Yeah. Exactly. Yet he has Richard Doty in his documentary, which I think is a bigger red flag than David fucking Wilcock being in there.
Not only that, the fact that he was warned about David Wilcock and then from there does a documentary with Richard Doty and David Wilcock after that just clearly shows he doesn't
might
care.
Might as well make it worse. It might not be doesn't care at this point. By the time we got to this documentary, there were some red flags being raised for me about what he is doing. I mean, just alone from everything we've said in this episode up until this point, there's a lot of red flags here.
But I will give him some credit. I feel like it is due. The documentaries do get better cinematically and thematically after Sirius. I didn't see a sandaled foot in an interview after Sirius. They seem to at least stick to a bit more of a theme from there. Not that it was good, but they were at least more what you would expect.
The production got a little bit better.
From there, the third one is called Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. He really starts to focus in on his CE5 excursions. And at this point, I think we should actually talk about the CE5 excursions.
Yeah, let's do that.
If we go right to his website, he has a fairly in-depth explanation of what a CE5 event is. CE5 is a term describing fifth category of close encounters with extraterrestrial intelligence, ETI, characterized by mutual bilateral communication rather than unilateral contact. The CE5 initiative has as its central focus bilateral ETI human communication based on mutual respect and universal principles of exchange and contact. CE types 1 to 4 are essentially passive, reactive, and ETI initiated. A CE5 is distinguished from these by conscious, voluntary, and proactive human initiated or cooperative contacts with ETI. Evidence exists indicating that CE5s have successfully occurred in the past, and the inevitable maturing of the human ETI relationship requires greater research and outreach efforts into the possibility, while ultimate control of such contact and exchange will, and probably should, remain with the technologically more advanced intelligent life forms. This does not lessen the importance of consciousness, voluntary human initiatives, contact, and follow-up to conventional CE types 1 to 4. CSETI is the only worldwide effort to concentrate on putting trained teams of investigators into the field where 1, active waves of UFO activity are occurring, or 2, an attempt to vector UFOs into a specific area for the purposes of initiating communication. Contact protocols include the use of lights, sound, and thought. Thought, specifically consciousness, is the primary mode of initiating contact. The CE5 initiative is a scientific and diplomatic program which endeavors to establish a cooperative, peaceful, and sustainable relationship between humans and any and all ET peoples which may visit Earth. CE5 initiative protocols are used to vector UFOs into an area and then engage them in a peaceful, cooperative exchange using light, sound, and other modalities. Working group members are selected according to their ability to engage in this research in an open-minded and non-prejudicial manner, which is free from premature fear-based negative conclusions regarding the intentions of these visitors to our planet. The integrity of the diplomatic perspective is fundamental to the success of the CE5 initiative, since it's probable that these visitors are capable of assessing the attitudes, motives, and intentions of the the working group's members. Core principles. There is strong evidence of the existence of ETI civilizations and spacecrafts. ETIs and ETs have been and are currently visiting Earth. Careful bilateral communications between ETIs and humans is of continuing importance and will increase in the future. Both humans and ETI as conscious, intelligent beings are essentially more alike than dissimilar. CSETI is dedicated to the study of both our shared and unique characteristics. CSETI operates on the premise that ETI's net motives and ultimate intentions are peaceful and non-hostile, and it appears probable that more than one extraterrestrial civilization is responsible for the ETI-ET's contacts. So far observed, it's likely that this represents a cooperative effort. And this is a note to people putting these on, do not use public land or federal land for a field site to do your contact. We suggest that you use private property with permission. And sometimes state parks in the United States can be good locations. Just make sure you find out if you need a permit, especially for groups of more than just a few people. Except for the instructor, you are not using lasers during CSETI's trainings. It is best if you minimize using them during your own field work and be careful not to hit any aircraft or anyone in the eyes. It is best that just one person in the group be the person that uses the laser to signal. Chelsea, you can actually find these basically everywhere. I almost think he franchises it out to do CE5 events. I don't know if you got to this point in the Joe Rogan episode. Joe Rogan at one point asked, like, what percentage of the time do you see something when you go out on a CE5 event? He says 100% of the time. Every outing sees some sort of spacecraft.
It's including satellites?
No, it's UFOs. Like, that's what he specifically says. Sorry, I shouldn't say specifically. It's either spacecraft or, like, anomalous activity in the sky.
It appears there's a CE5 community group in Vancouver.
Actually, there was pre-COVID a CE5 group in Kelowna, too. So they are, like, widespread.
That is weird.
But hey, these people come together for love and whatnot to meet these aliens. I think we talked about in the last episode how contradicting this view is that you have to have good intentions to contact these groups, yet this evil government secretive group is what they've communicated with and given all the technology to. I just find that so weird, but whatever, we can get past that. I found a review. CSETI CE5 event put on by Stephen Greer on November 15th, 2009.
Okay.
This was posted on Amazon by Knowledge Seeker in California. Let's see what they thought of this whole thing. This is quite the description here. I followed Dr. Greer's activity with enthusiasm since 2001 when he established the Disclosure Project. I read his books, watched his interviews, and listened to his meditation CDs. I liked everything this man seemed to be about and shared his views on the need to inform the public about the presence of extraterrestrial visitors on Earth, the importance of establishing peaceful contact with visitors, and developing free or low-cost over-unity energy technologies that would clean the planet, eliminate conflict between nations, and bring about a dignified quality of life and abundance to people all over the world. I still share these goals. So it was with great excitement that I signed up for a CSETI presentation and a one-day workshop with Dr. Greer that took place on November 13th and 14th, 2009 in Costa Mesa, California, to experience and learn CSETI's contact protocol and to determine whether it would be worthwhile enrolling in a week-long CSETI outing with Dr. Greer. Surprisingly, my preconceived opinion about Dr. Greer's character began to disintegrate as I listened to his presentation. It was disheartening to discover he is excessively fascinated with himself, prone to indulge in name-dropping and in bragging about his fantastic high-end and or in-the-know contacts and connections, not to mention the multitude of outlandish remarks he makes with a straight face, such as his impact on the rogue, majestic secret government, so much so that according to him, he rejected a $2 billion payout to shut up and abandon the ET disclosure issue. Needless to say, that night, I left the auditorium less enthusiastic about what Dr. Greer is all about. But it was not until the workshop and the outing next day that my opinion about him really changed. Unfortunately for the worst. Again, during the workshop, Dr. Greer devoted some time to self-admiration while attempting to appear humble by saying, quote, "I'm just a country doctor from North Carolina," end quote. By then, I was becoming quite uncomfortable about him, but as the workshop progressed, my discomfort turned into dismay. As I watched how rudely he treated some attendees who asked valid questions or made harmless remarks, but whose timing or subject he deemed inappropriate. I was truly shocked and could not believe my ears and eyes as I watched him lash at them with such scornful contempt. It was so bad that I wondered if this man was consciously trying to chase these people away. Dr. Greer claims to have experienced meditative samadhi, or oneness with all. If so, one would think he would have achieved a certain degree of enlightenment and a sense of kinship towards his fellow men? Why then was he so harsh and unkind? Did he forget that these people paid a significant amount of money not to only listen, but to ask questions as well? The worst and most disheartening part of this experience was witnessing the CSETI's field contact protocol. At the site, a number of devices such as radio transmitters, magnetometers, radar detectors, infrared scopes, etc. were arranged. Even though I don't doubt Dr. Greer may have had several ET experiences in the past, what I observed in the field that night is inconsistent with his hyperbolic claims suggesting he can vector ETs and make them appear. His actions and the facts demonstrated that at the very least, this is a bold exaggeration. Not surprisingly, to cover up for this assertion, Dr. Greer made sure to bring out a series of possibilities for a no-show prior to the field excursion. According to him, sometimes ETs might not appear because, quote, there is someone in the group without good intent and a clean heart, or the ETs feel threatened by US military, or even though they won't fully materialize, they will manifest in a thousand other ways, end quotes.
Wow. I love that review.
There's more. Conveniently, there were plenty of people at hand, mostly staff, who would come forward to state that while meditating, they saw this or heard that. Most amusing, though, were Dr. Greer's remarks at the beeps and sounds made by the electronic equipment. You see, according to him, an ET he named Walter communicates via one of these electronic devices, and Dr. Greer is able to recognize which beeps he makes. Additionally, the large quantity of wow and oh my god remarks coming out of Dr. Greer's mouth over unseen or imaginary non-events was sadly hilarious. Oftentimes, he would point his mega laser beam at some spot in the sky and claim he was seeing a partly materialized ET craft. Of course, anyone else saw nothing, even though according to him, many significant events were taking place that night because we were such a great group.
Except for the idiot.
To make matters worse, Dr. Greer supplemented the lack of any occurrence with information he received via remote viewing. I found this charade insulting to my intelligence, intuitiveness, and psychic sensibilities. I know ETs were not present that night, and I would have respected Dr. Greer if he had been forthright and acknowledged the fact that there was no activity. I would understand. It happens. Because I experienced firsthand Dr. Greer's tendencies to fabricate, exaggerate, and embellish non-events at the CSETI field trip, it then follows that the accuracy and validity of everything he claims in his books is in question, since it's evident that, at the very least, he stretches the truth to the point where it becomes short of being an outright lie. In the past, whenever I would read negative reviews about Dr. Greer, especially ones describing him as self-centered narcissist, I would reject them and conclude that they were made by people who couldn't handle the truth. But based on what I saw and experienced firsthand, it appears Dr. Greer is in love with himself, and because he sees himself above others, he dislikes most people. However, he desperately craves their attention, so he created this ET disclosure platform to attract as large an audience as possible in order to obtain the recognition and adulation he sorely needs. In essence, regardless of the message, this messenger is so flawed, one must question the purity and true nature of his motivations. His books, conferences, and CSETI outings may be more about the money they bring in than the message itself. Furthermore, unless you enjoy watching people being mistreated by Dr. Greer and don't mind embarking on a pathetic farce, I recommend you put your money elsewhere instead of spending it in any of his CSETI excursions. That's that description of the training event.
Wow, that was incredible. You know what? I haven't personally been to one, but I totally get those vibes from him.
Next up from here, Chelsea, we're going to read an article from the Washington Examiner.
Okay, I'm up for it.
Posted July 31st, 2020.
It's going to be
by Tom Rogan. Article title, Did Stephen Greer Fake a UFO with Flares?
Oh, no. I mean, oh, no, but I could totally see it for him.
Dr. Stephen Greer likes to suggest that he is in regular contact with extraterrestrials who are visiting Earth. Kindly, if for a price, Greer offers to train others in this close encounter of the fifth kind contact protocols. But is Greer really in contact with unidentified flying objects, or what the military refer to as unidentified aerial phenomena, UAPs? Well, like the US military, I'm very confident that some UFOs are true unknowns, but not belonging to China, the United States, or Russia. That said, I'm not convinced these objects are what Greer is seeing or communicating with. A January 27, 2015 Greer contact event in Florida offers a case in point. That date saw Greer leading an expedition at Vero Beach on Florida's East Coast. Greer's website says that his week-long expedition come with a tuition fee of $2,500 to $3,500 depending on facility costs. The website explains that All of the ambassadors to the universe trainings are similar. All participants are expected to complete the return liabilities release, confidentiality agreement, and ambassador agreement, which will be sent after they have paid and registered. And it's only sent after they're paid and registered. Back to January 27, 2015, when Greer's expedition claimed to have summoned two UFOs. Video of the sighting was posted to Greer's YouTube channel, and the incident was first case listed on the photographic and video evidence page of Greer's website. The video introduction says the event occurred between 9:10 and 9:15 p.m. and was a result of the invitation initiated by members using coherent thought and meditation practices, also known as CE5 protocols. The video's description states there were no boats or ships seen anywhere in the area of the object, and there were no jets or planes or other airborne objects anywhere near the object before, during, or after the event. That's not true, but let's not jump the gun. The video starts with one bright orange light appearing off the coast. Greer is heard directing a participant to please turn off your night scope. Note that a night scope would assist in detecting low visibility aircrafts in the vicinity. Shortly thereafter, a second light appears off the coast to the left of the first light. Greer confirms that these are indeed UFOs.
What?
Sorry, question?
No, I'm reacting to this. What?
I'm looking with the night scope. There's no smoke. There's no trail. These are not flares, he continues. They were waiting for us to arrive. A few seconds later, Greer implores his group, "Let's welcome the beings on board to join us in meditation. That is such a beautiful color. See, you'll never forget that color," he says. "This is huge," one participant says. Greer agrees. "Yes, this is a major event." At the 3 minute 32 second mark, the first light disappears. Ignoring the light's slow but obvious altitude decline, Greer states that, quote, "They've stayed pretty much the same altitude, though let's invite them to come as close as they can," end quote. At the 4:11 mark, the second light dissipates, while the second light is quite obviously above the water as it fades out. Greer quickly states, quote, "Oh, that's gone into the ocean. See what it did?" End quote. Greer concludes, quote, "Now the way that you know, that's not like something like a flare, first of all. It didn't shoot up and then come down," end quote. The video fades out. We then see a series of other photos and videos of the same event. But were these UFOs, or were they something more terrestrial? Well, flight-aware flight tracking data attained by the Washington Examiner suggests the latter is true. At 9:11 p.m. on January 27, 2015, a Beech 76 Duchess registered N110SU was recorded flying at 85 miles per hour off Vero Beach. This is slower than the aircraft's normal cruising speed and will feasibly allow the aircrew to deploy parachuted flares or some other illumination devices. The aircraft took off and returned to the airport in Fort Peace. The screenshot below shows the aircraft's location at the time of the event, which is just outside of where they're sitting. The owner of the aircraft is listed to by the Federal Aviation Administration as Airy Ben Aviator Incorporated. The website for the Fort Pierce-based flight school, Aviator College of Aeronautical Science and Technology, lists Michael Cohen as its president and CEO, and the owner and only president of Airy Ben Aviator since its inception. The website explains that Cohen has 33 years of experience with managing successful flight training school in all areas, including advertising and recruiting. The distinction between Airy Ben Aviator and Airy Ben Aviator seems to be a spelling mistake. Florida State Business Records list Cohen as the owner of both the Aviator School and Airy Ben Aviators. When I reached out to the Aviators College to ask about the January 27, 2015 flight, Director of Maintenance Christopher Spear told me that the director never does things like drop flares. After sending Spear a copy of the flight record, he did not respond to any further emails. Incidentally, another aircraft listed to Airy Ben Aviator was forced to land on a section of Interstate 95 in Florida on January 30th, 2017, after running out of fuel. The top line, however, is that the flight was in place and time that the witnesses saw the lights. I thus offer a pretty confident assessment that what was seen off Vero Beach that night were not UFOs, but in fact flares of some kind. Frankly, the fact that there was a plane there and he said not to use the night vision lights, lenses, really is
that damning. I was just gonna say that's damning in itself, whether or not rest of it was documented or not. That's damning in itself to be like, oh no, you don't need those. You paid $3,500, put those away, please. You don't need to verify shit.
No, just trust me. I've seen these things before.
If you look at
them, we shouldn't know if there's airplanes in the area.
If you look at them with night vision goggles, you will die.
That's bad intention. They interpret that as unpure thoughts when you look at them in night vision.
Yeah, they do up there as planes dropping flares.
Now, I can't remember where I got this quote from, but I'm just going to read it because I feel like it needs to be. I'm sorry. I will find it if anybody sues us for a slander. But outside of that, you guys just got to trust me. It's on the internet somewhere. Somebody watched Unacknowledged and really got spicy that Doty was in it.
Oh, good.
Regarding Doty, anyone who believes his latest offering of BS as presented in Stephen Greer's new film is utterly naive and deserves to be duped. As the following link will reveal, Doty's long deplorable track record of disseminating false information about the UFO phenomenon and the US government's knowledge of it is remarkable and continues to this day. Whether or not this current utterance merely serves his personal need to screw with persons such as Greer and the rest of us, or instead the latest chapter in his involvement in the government's efforts to confuse and misdirect public interest in the UFO topic, it's unknown. However, given Doty's many disreputable actions over the years, one needs to review and understand his history before attempting to evaluate his most recent public claims. And if you want more information, we did a multi-episode arc on Richard Doty. Go listen to them because he is a piece of shit. Cool. Like, I even think just calling him an asshole of the UFO community is above him.
Yeah.
He's not. He is a piece of shit.
Yeah. You need to go listen to the, I think it's a three-parter, actually. Two or three-part. You gotta go listen to it. You gotta. To know the full scope of how big of an asshole this guy is.
Another thing that came up in the Joe Rogan episode, he's a firm believer in Majestic 12 because he says that he is in possession of the original documents for it, which we've done an episode on. They are not real in any way.
Yeah.
He's also a firm believer in Roswell, despite the fact, again, there's not a lot of evidence behind Roswell.
Well, Roswell the crash and Roswell with the bodies, I think, are two totally different.
He's more so the alien bodies one.
Uh-huh. You definitely start questioning where he's going with all of this once you start seeing these ties and keeps coming and going.
In the next documentary, he throws somebody under the bus, Lou Elizondo. He basically says that he's a disinformation agent of the government, and he admitted it to a lawyer that he has on the documentary, and he has the lawyer say it, basically, in the documentary, that this guy admitted this to him. And Chelsea, I need to play a video.
I know what I was going to say. So we've seen come up so far, he's calling BS on Lou Elizondo. So far, he's had David Wilcock in his episode, which David Wilcock hasn't put disinformation out there that we know. He's just a bullshitter. That's probably not putting out anything that's true. So he has Doty in his documentaries, con artist David Wilcock, and now he has ties to Bill Moore with the Majestic 12, and he's talking about the Roswell bodies. That's not looking good for him.
Next, we're just going to start hitting on, there's one thing about Stephen Greer, and I think that this is unique to him as an asshole, is that he has a wholly, entirely different perspective on aliens from everybody else. And if you don't line up with him, he will call you out as a liar. Either you're spreading disinformation because you have been handed information that was wrong, or you're lying to everybody to change their perspective. And you even heard that. He said that Lou Elizondo is lying, as is Nick Pope. Who, again, has a fairly good reputation within the UFO community. So I just have a ton of people who he's either made a statement about or they've had to make a statement about Stephen Greer just because he said things about them. So they have to say things back and they're all uncomfortable about it. You know what? I should start. Before we get there, I do have to talk about his... I think it's a 2-hour episode of the Patrick Bet David podcast, PBD, which is a person's name. It's also the correct answer to who did Patrick bet. It's a whole sentence in itself, technically. It's a bad joke. Don't worry about it. Anyhow, he hits on all the key points he always does, but there were some points in it that I just found hilariously awkward. First and foremost, because this is a very right-wing podcast, he just completely avoids talking about climate change. Kind of brings it up awkwardly at one point and immediately changes the subject. At another point, he talks about how 15 or so people in his crew have been murdered by the secret government. And when PBD asks him about it, he specifically says, oh, well, they have like 150 different ways to cause cancer. Oh, okay. So there's just people around you who have died from cancer. Got it. And then he says that they tried to murder him by cutting a bar on his bike so that when he went mountain biking, he would come crashing off and die, which... immediately after talking about how people were murdered in his crew in a much more sophisticated way. And then PBD wants to get into the specifics of who's actually part of like the dark government, this they that he keeps talking about. And he just keeps saying names of CEOs. And it's just Hilarious. No, PBD says names and he's like, I want to know who. Like, is it Jamie Dimon? He's like, he has a very awkward way of answering it where he says, like, it could be, but I'm not 100% sure. So they just go for like 5 minutes. He's saying names and he's awkwardly answering the questions. Overall, I can't recommend listening to the PBD podcast because he's a right-winger that made a lot of his money through MLMs in the insurance industry. So I can't really recommend it, but it was hilariously awkward. So from there, PBD had Lou Elizondo on. He specifically asks Lou, hey, what do you think of Stephen Greer? This is what's said.
Stephen Greer, what are your thoughts on Stephen Greer?
I don't know him. So I don't ever usually have an opinion on anybody. I never talk about anybody if I haven't had a chance to meet them personally.
So I had him on for the second time 2 months ago. And are you familiar with Sean Ryan, podcaster Sean Ryan? Mm-hmm. He had Greer on. Rob, can you pull up that one clip? Because this is the part where it's kind of like, you know.
I think I'm aware of it. I know the one you're going to show.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. I want to show this one here too. I want to see what you're going to say about it. Go ahead.
When you're talking about these disinformation agents, these knocks. Mm-hmm. I have somebody that comes to mind, mm-hmm. and we were talking about him at lunch. Mm-hmm. Lou Elizondo. Mm-hmm. Is he one of them?
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, as soon as he emerged on the stage, I had a very senior guy, CIA, who's worked this issue since 1979, contact me about that problem. But remember, the only way that you can control at this point all this coming out because of what we have and what we're pushing forward through media is to control the narrative, the mm-hmm. spin. So the people coming forward who get an all-access pass on to, say, 60 Minutes or something like that, or people cleared by this same illegal, corrupt organization because they'll tell the public, yes, the UAPs are real, but we don't know what they are. Well, this is an absolute lie. We absolutely know what they are. Some of them are ours, man-made, and are confused quite frequently with the others, which are of extraterrestrial origin, or ETVs, extraterrestrial vehicles. And those operatives are taught very well to take an issue, grab it, capture it, and then spin it in the direction that they want. Now, the direction they want is endless ambiguity. Gee, we don't know what they are. We don't know what they are. It's nonsense. We've proven what they are. Well, you know, I have 755 whistleblowers.
You have 755 whistleblowers?
Yeah. I mean, this archive is unbelievable.
You had mentioned that you...
What do you think about what he says? Because,
well, where are the whistleblowers? And I'll tell you, isn't he the same guy they wrote an article about, if I'm not mistaken, who apparently was accused of taking people on a tour and then paying some dude to pay, like $500 to drop flares out of a Cessna? Is that the same guy?
I don't know that.
I think there was an article. I think it was done by the Debrief. I think. Anyways, you know, my mom always told me, if I have nothing kind to say, don't say it at all. So I've never met the man. But, you know, it's nonsense. I don't know what to tell you, man. I mean, look, where are the whistleblowers? You know, when I went to the IG, you know, and had my conversation, I didn't see any of them. You know, I know the ones that we talk to. We go to Congress and we talk to Congress. I haven't seen him.
Is yep. the one you're talking about?
That's it.
So there's that. We don't have to go over that article because we've read that. And this is, he gives me specifically, this is fully just my opinion. I have to state this here. He gives me cult leader vibes and that he is welcoming. He provides a positive outlook to the exterior. But if you contradict him or don't pay service to him as the expert or the master, he will cut you down. Not quite as extreme as this, though, because he is so, if you contradict him in any way, you're out. But weirdly enough, David Wilcock avoids this, and I think it is because he kisses the ring every time he needs to. And I also think he's willing to throw people under the bus, but we'll get to there at a certain point. Anyhow, and that's what his view makes no sense, like I've said before, because these are peaceful aliens, yet the bad guys have ended up with that technology. So it doesn't make any sense. So of course, no. In his mind, the animal mutilation has to be going on from the government itself. So he's had to comment on Lita Moulton Howe before, and she has a comment about
I mean, he hasn't had to.
He wanted to, I should
just
probably
because
say.
I watched Stephen Greer's latest documentary over the weekend, which I wasn't a big fan of, but he alleged in this documentary that all extraterrestrial life only wants peace. And he claimed that any cattle mutilations or abductions are only the U.S. government trying to trick people into a false alien war. What's your opinion on that?
Who is he working for? Because that is counterintelligence lie.
I think himself, to try and get people to buy his products and so forth.
That's a naive comment.
I've given you just a glimpse of the forensic evidence that you or anybody who went to investigate an animal mutilation, yeah, you would find it's repeatable.
He's right.
It's repeatable forensic evidence. It is the pristineness, not the gore. There is no gore. There's no blood. There's no fluid. There's
and I think that's probably far enough in there. That first comment is probably the best that we need from that.
I think he's right. I think she's
unfortunately,
right.
I think we're running out of time now, so I can't get into too many more of these. I have statements from Edgar Mitchell. I really love Stephen Greer in one video throws Corey Good and Tom DeLonge under the bus in the same 10-minute period. He also makes a really fun point.
He throws them under the
bus. Because Corey Good is part of the secret space program. Like, he was a kid when he was doing that, which can't be. There were evil aliens out there, which isn't part of the mythos of Stephen Greer. They're all good aliens. So he has to throw them under the bus. And because he has been brought in with Tom DeLonge, he has to throw him under the bus for being misdirected by bad people within the community, too.
And this is just another contradiction of Stephen Greer. He has David Wilcock in his fucking documentary.
I know, who basically believes the same thing, which is my mind. David Wilcock threw Corey Good under the bus to get in there. He seems like the type who will burn a bridge to climb a mountain or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how things work. We know what you're getting.
He also made the point in that video too that I just find kind of funny, and it is correct. It's kind of racist to believe that an alien species is entirely evil. Like, there's good and bad within everything, but I'm like, at the same time, that's funny because you believe every alien species is inherently good. So what are you saying here?
What about us? I mean, shouldn't you assume the same about
and then
us?
I have a quote from Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut who got involved with both Stephen Greer and the alien side. Quote, I cooperated with Stephen Greer some years ago, but he began to overreach his data continuously, necessitating a withdrawal by myself, and I believe several others. I have requested to be removed from any website announcements, etc., but see, that has not taken place. He shows up in a lot of the documentaries being quoted directly.
Yeah, I saw that, and you know, that's the second time that's come up in this episode alone. Taking his liberty.
New guy on the scene, David Grusk, had somebody post this to Twitter for him. I took my job very seriously, and early on, I allowed various individuals that alleged they had information to speak their truth as part of my evaluation process. I have not been mentored by anyone, and my public disclosure has been done independently under my own free will. I emphatically request that Stephen Greer cease using my name to promote his personal agenda. End of statement. I have to end this off with a few Reddit posts, just because that's how we gotta do things here.
Oh yeah, that's my favorite place. On
this one has some pretty damning stuff in it. First thing here is by Esco Paul 2 years ago. I am a fan of Spaced Out Radio. The host mentioned one of his lifetime band guests is Greer. Greer demanded money to be on his show and a full list of every question before he was on. The host explained that he likes to engage in friendly conversation, not regimented interviews. Greer makes it sound like he is in person briefing presidents and other high ups about the phenomenon, which came up in the documentary. He talked about Clinton and Obama and he talks about it on a podcast. How he specifically briefed them, yeah. A well-respected researcher, I forget who, but I think it was Stanton Friedman, looked into it and found some of his briefing packets in presidential libraries unopened and marked unread. Doesn't prove anything, but most likely he just mails his briefings in and makes the claims he gives them in person. And this last one here is where I'm going to end this podcast episode off, is by Big Tay-Tay 4 years ago. I tend to stay away from this sub because it developed into mostly bullshit. But in the name of trying to steer people towards real information, I'll chip in my opinion. Stephen Greer is an outright fraud. When he first came out with his involvement with aliens, he was way more humble, way more transparent. But a few years in, he was giving talks, making videos, etc. His demeanor and ego has changed drastically. He speaks as if he is the end-all be-all of alien and alien information, and he's made millions. All the photos I've seen that he gives for sightings amount to blurry, amorphous blobs that look like a figure if you try to believe it is. Ask yourself this: if this man truly wanted to bring aliens to the forefront of the world's consciousness, why is he creating such an exclusive setting to quote interact end quote with them? Why is he charging $8,000 to see aliens in ships, and he just so happens to be able to conjure them at will? He went from truther speaking at small conventions to basically being the summoner of aliens. And whenever pushed about where he gets his information, it's either from dead people or I won't give out personal information to keep them safe. No, yeah. I think he sees that people are gullible and desperate to believe in something larger than themselves, and he capitalizes on it. He takes advantage of these people. He has successfully merged alien and New Age cons. There is real information out there on the extent of aliens and spacecraft, such as the massive dump from the Department of Defense, but guys like this are just exploiting people. And Chelsea, Lou Elizondo brought this up too. It's amazing that there are congressional hearings on UFOs that have happened over the years. He has never been invited, and no. I do find that damning.
And that's the thing about him talking out about the people on Tuesday.
Lou Elizondo, literally, I think it was the week we record this, was in a briefing with Congress for UFO disclosure. I don't say that makes him more credible or not. Well, I do say it does make him more credible. But yeah, it's just kind of crazy that they've never, like, he says that he's talked to presidents and he doesn't get invited to these things. And he has to fake that he's doing these types of things by having his seminars at the National Press Conference.
Well, that was my point. Like, does he... Stephen Greer says that he's pushing for disclosure of some sort, right? He has the disclosure project, right? That's him. Okay. So why is he not... Like, why is he specifically speaking out about how they're disinformation agents when he's manning the disclosure project? Like, he should be happy it's disclosed.
Two, he's talking about these guys are all being fed disinformation. He claims that he has 755 whistleblowers who have talked to him, and he even fully admits at best 10% of people who are talking are actually giving you real information. So did he interview 7500 people and he has it down to 755 best, or is he just not care and it's just like anybody who will talk to him he can add to that number?
Either that or 755
or just made up the number.
Is the 10% of the number. You best know that that is not the 10% number. That is every single person that's ever talked. And he's taking liberties with, because so many people have said he took me being polite as saying so-and-so.
Yeah, you agreeing know that, and in fact adding to his story. And in fact, I could fully see it just being he made up the number and 755 seems believable.
Yeah, it just seems... It because it's a weird believable number. Though it's like a super high number, like it would be more believable if it was like 89 whistleblowers.
I have spoken to 3 whistleblowers like that in my own mind would blow my look. I'd be like, that makes sense.
Even if you were like, I vetted them and their stories are so like, I've talked to many more, but 3 of them,
I've talked to hundreds, 3 of them stories. Seem credible. Yeah
That's enough. That's enough.
Wow. And I think, Chelsea, at this point, I should comment on, because he's always going by doctor, and I even mentioned, like, he's not a doctor of anything that he's doing anymore, but whatever. Technically, he has that degree. I personally think, and this is my opinion on the timeline that he was on, he wasn't a very good doctor. And he even says, like, he forewent a very successful medical career to do this. He graduated in 87. He got his medical license in 89, and I'm not quite sure how residency worked in North Carolina, but by 94, he was doing this permanently. And I know residency nowadays takes at least 5 years, which in my mind would mean that he didn't even really get to the point of actually practicing as a doctor. I don't know for sure, because you can't find any information on him before that Larry King interview. But I don't think he was a very good doctor. But I would love for him to refute that, like give some information on that. I am open for being refuted on that. But
there's some stuff that he is so vague about.
Well, and like, I'm fully admitted, I practiced as a lawyer. I didn't do it that long and I didn't like it. And I don't think it would long term. Maybe I wouldn't have been that successful at it because I'm not the right personality for it. But I'm open about that. Him, I think that's kind of the same thing that he was going about. He happened to have a rich friend who got him down the right path in a Rockefeller, but he plays that persona up so well, and he has made a killing at this.
Is this? Oh no, it's not a public company, so we wouldn't know how much he's actually earning from the production company. It's disappointing. And very sneaky of him to say that he made nothing from it. It was all the production company. It's a very sneaky way to put it.
As soon as I saw that, I knew that he was full. Oh, like there's so many things that done that, but I was like, oh, he is sneaky with his words.
My impressions, even just watching, you've taken in a lot more Stephen Greer content than
too much.
I have.
And I'm scared to log into YouTube at this point, Chelsea.
You share, I know, because then all the related content pops up. You shared some really good reviews.
You know what I've also realized after this? That I find something to take away from this is that extreme right-wing conservative side media is much more willing to allow hobbies to be a pipeline to their type of politics, in that if you're just somebody who likes UFOs, you're going to end up on right-wing media at some point watching one of your guys talking, and it just opens you up to that side, whereas left-wing media does not do that.
Ugh. Gross.
Yeah, it's at least something for me I've taken away from this that I don't know what to do with, but I feel like it is important. It should be noted.
There's an implication there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, and it's entirely, have you heard about the conspirituality movement where it's like all the hippies who were into crystals and anti-vax are now MAGA diehards? And I think it was because they got caught by this pipeline like that.
I mean, that would make sense, actually. Yeah. So I think you got some really good interviews, some really good rebuttals from people who Stephen Greer has spoken out about within the community. My impression by the time we got to the end / beginning of that one was exactly who is Stephen Greer in the back pocket of. Because we
saw... I don't think he's in the back pocket of anybody. I think he's out to enrich himself, and he has created this movement that is very particular to him, and he treats it like a cult.
Yes. Yes.
Fully my
maybe
opinion.
Back pocket
Fully
wasn't,
my opinion.
And my opinion as well. Maybe back pocket wasn't the right word, but he definitely has some cult-like traits. But I think he is also being fed information, and Linda Moulton Howe is right in who is he working for, because he has a lot of suspicious
That's
ties.
Actually a good point. And by what I mean is, I don't think anybody, like, he's like taking it as disinformation to feed out. I think he's building something where it's like ancillary to what he's actually doing, spreading disinformation. He just wants to make a buck.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, and have his cult. He's just loving the attention, and it's just like David Wilcock as well. But he has a super elitist way of looking at this kind of stuff, which you see it over and over again in this community, which is why we have so many asshole episodes. And they all have similar personality traits to get to.
Which is why they end up weird, how three of them end up in the same documentary.
Yeah, and to be able to make a career out of something like this, it takes a certain personality to get there. There are many a red flag with Stephen Greer, starting with how he is so happily tied to a Rockefeller, in which he's also in the same breath saying, we're still on fossil fuels and that's bad. Then we see Doty, then we see David Wilcock, and then we see a lot of other really weird things pop up.
So many things in one documentary.
Yeah, combined with how vague he is about who he's actually talking to and what he's done, mixed with some exaggeration and lying, this guy is top of the asshole
And
list.
If you wanted to attend his CE5 Ocean event on the Caribbean cruise on April 6th, 12th, 2025, you should check it out on his website. Anyhow, I think that's far enough for this guy. We've spent way too long on this, and... It you could especially. Just keep going. We might revisit him in the near future. Anyhow, I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes, or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.